The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
1, 2, 3.
That was... All right. Ready?
Happy to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say I'm ready. Hello, and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
And my name is Caroline. And today... we are recapping season 5, episode 17 of Pretty Little Liars called The Bin of Sin, or the Sin Bin, as I'll be calling it from this point on.
This was a action-packed episode. Also, a little heavy-handed with the extreme temperatures back-to-back episodes.
Oh, I didn't, you know, now that you mention it, yes.
We couldn't have like filed that one away to use a different season.
And a little heavy handed with the, I think, honestly, I'm going to be real for real. I think at this point in the show, other seasons weren't promised. You know what I mean? So why save anything when now might be all we got?
I don't know. I think they were pretty.
End of season 5.
No, they were cruising at this point for sure. The fans were rabid for it.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't feel like it as much in this exact moment for me because I'm like, this is when I fell off. So I'm like, how rabid could they have been? It doesn't take much to get me feral. You know what I'm saying? But what I was going to say is a little bit heavy handed with the like Sarah McLachlan montages, like enough. There were two
in one episode.
I know. And the music, like the first time it happened, I literally was like, okay, can't wait to have a chat about this.
Also, I was like, something crazier than what I'm watching needs to be happening for this to be like.
I'm not going to lie. I thought, because I have no idea how we get to the dollhouse episodes. I thought that the girls just walked into the dollhouse. I still think that might have been the dollhouse.
I'm going to tell you, you couldn't take the craziest drug and open your mind so wide and figure out how they get there.
That's definitely true. I don't even know how they get there, and I know that's definitely true. I just was thinking like, oh, they just walk right in. Oh, that's how they got there. Because it seemed like, I mean, I know a trap was laid for them because they did find themselves in a near-death situation, as they tend to do. But I don't know. I thought they weren't getting out of there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I loved the episode title, though. And I will be calling it the Sin Bin from this point forward. The Sin Bin sounds like what we could have called the Chokey. It sounds like what one might hold their paraphernalia in. It sounds like where you might go to confession.
Imagine the Catholic Church starts to rebrand to like start like appealing to the youth a little bit more, and they start calling the confessionals sin bins.
Well, ever since I went to the Vatican, I'm pretty sure most of them listen. So once they hear this episode, like, it's game over. I know that one priest really loved me, and
Francis is going to be like, man, can non-practicing Catholics be my advisors?
He's going to be like, hey, I'm kind of reinventing the wheel anyway. Like, okay, so let's just.
But here's the recap.
All right, guys, I got completely roasted last time for my recap that I did after waking up, so I expect nothing less coming up, but I'll try to, I don't know, have a little bit more pep this time around. So let's cover some ground here. Mona, of course, left her laptop that is like completely sealed and locked up to the girls. She left it to them. And then, of course, Aria needs to use it for her own purposes and gets it stolen by A. Then we see that the location is like triggering a notification. So like the computer is turned on somewhere, which triggered notifications to the girls saying this is where the computer is because Mona's a fucking genius. And Spencer finds that the laptop is actually, it's at a storage facility. So of course we know Arya didn't get into any freaking colleges, so she had to throw her boyfriend under the bus. Arya didn't get into Talmadge. And we find out that Jackie Melina, of all people, works at Talmadge. So Ezra's like, that's why you didn't get in. Arya has the crazy idea to completely, like, just basically write a roast of Ezra Fitz and send it to her to get in. And it works. But Ezra doesn't know this yet. Then, of course, we have the love triangle that makes me want to freaking die. Jason De Laurentiis, Ashley Marin, and Pastor Ted, P.T. Cruiser. And Ashley seems a bit more regretful. Jason maybe is more into it. But yeah, they hooked up and then Ted proposed. Ted proposed to her after being away, like building houses for people in Peru. We've also met Talia. She's the new like cook at the brew and she's really fucking annoying, but she's definitely really into Emily. And Emily doesn't have a freaking clue yet. Also, how could we forget? Allison was arrested for the murder of Mona Vanderwall. And Caleb and Spencer have been lying. Won't be the first time. Won't be the last. That's what I meant. It won't be the last time. It might be the first time. They're lying to Toby about what they found at the storage unit. They found a barrel that they believe Mona's body could be either preserved in or could have been turned into sledge in. So yeah, and the storage unit, guys, cop this. Storage unit is rented in Hannah's name, if you can even freaking believe it. Mom, Caroline, I hope that this recap was a little bit more up to your speed. I still have like a little bit of a sleepy voice, so sorry if it wasn't perfect. Enjoy the episode, everybody.
I like that we opened this episode with like, Arya has nothing to be mad about, nothing to be bitchy about, nothing to be like irritated about, because this wasn't your best friend that you just maybe found in a bin. And she's like, wait, so you mean to tell me you think Mona's in that barrel? Okay.
Arya is out of control and Hannah is catching strays and I'm not here for it. And Arya, you will pay. But... one thing that I thought was just weird, though, is that why is Hannah... Spencer was there. Spencer found it with Caleb. Why are Hannah and Caleb like, no, this is legit what happened?
I think it's because since they found it, Caleb and Hannah have been the ones that have been together brainstorming because he went over to Hannah's house at the end of the last episode.
Oh, right.
Because
right,
her
right.
name is on the rental agreement.
Right. So at that point, Hannah shows the girls the receipt for the storage unit. So we see that's where Hannah's name is. And of course, Arya immediately blows her cover and is like, okay, this has to be payback for when you confronted Allie in jail. And Spencer and Emily are like...
Spencer and Emily act like Hannah just shot someone dead in front of them.
I mean, literally. And it's
not that big of a deal.
Spencer is gonna cover for herself and be like, I just don't want you endangering your... Since when? Since when do you care what kind of danger Hannah Marin...
Spencer, you would have done that.
Exactly.
If it was you,
she's
you would
just
have
pissed
been there.
She did it. That's all it is.
Exactly.
Spencer's
like the one time.
It's like, seriously?
She's also like the one time I follow the rules.
Yeah. Well, she's actually just pissed off that her boyfriend's a cop now. She's like, this sucks.
Oh my God.
She's like outside kicking rocks. She's like, seriously, it's not fair. I thought I was dating the bad boy. How did Hannah end up with the bad boy? Like, that's sort of what Spencer's giving.
Wait, I think you just nailed it.
Thank you. She's giving brat and not in a hot way.
No.
So.
No.
That's what I'll say about that. But yeah, so then we find out the storage unit was rented 4 months ago, the day before Mona's murder. So now the girls are convinced that it's been Allie's plan all along to frame Hannah.
Caleb sticks up for Hannah and is like, guys, this has nothing to do with the fact that she went to go visit Allie. This has been planned Right. And now Hannah's like, and they probably put my fingerprints all over that bloody knife and like all this stuff. We have to get rid of the bin.
And basically, they're like so trapped because if they were to do anything, go back to anything that can incriminate Allie, which would be a good thing for them, is also at this point going to incriminate Hannah. So it's like, yeah, they're just completely stuck.
Hannah doesn't have a good alibi because she was only with Caleb and they don't think the police will believe Caleb. But like, I've, after watching like the Scott Peterson documentary and now I'm watching another one on HBO, I've been like taking a break from true crime. Not intentionally.
It sounds just, like it.
I've just had the OC.
Do you mean
to
before
watch.
This or?
What do you mean?
Do you mean you were taking a break from true crime prior to watching these two documentaries you're talking about?
Yeah. Like this, okay, is, this like, is my research.
And I've been on a break. Like, this is just me taking it easy.
I imagine. No, but I watched them and I'm like, okay, back then in the fucking 90s, they could triangulate exactly when these people were like where they were. I mean,
Phoebe was born in 2000.
There was like no technology then, as far
Phoebe's
as I'm
like,
concerned.
I'm just like not super convinced anything existed before 2000, but nice try.
So I'm like, Hannah, I think they'd be able to prove. Hannah, you didn't send one text while you were standing in your kitchen. You didn't check Twitter once. You didn't update your status. You didn't message Aria in the comments. Like, they would be able to find that you were home. But anyway, the point is, Hannah doesn't think that her alibi would work because she was only with Caleb and Ashley and Ted were at the soup kitchen, of course, because in case you forgot, Pastor Ted is a perfect angel and has worked hard for everything he has.
Wow. Woo. Sheesh. Phoebe's like, and I would be proud to be a pastor's wife any day. Okay, Ashley? Hannah's like, I don't have a good alibi. I was only with Caleb. And like, no, we didn't film a sex tape, Spencer. She's like, serious, Hannah? Okay, well, that's on you. That's on you.
That is one of... That is one of the best Kat Cohen, the points of Kat Cohen's new stand-up, where she's like, we filmed a sex tape and then we watched it back.
It's the most harrowing film footage we've ever seen in our lives. Like,
okay, they need to be recast.
Suddenly they're like, I don't get it. The chemistry's not like reading for me. I think I'm distracted by other things happening in the film. Anyway, let's not ever do it again. Yeah. Spencer's like, what have I told you? Always be filming, okay? ABF.
ABF,
okay. Wait, guys, but for real, really quick, just a quick little pause is that Phoebe and I had to have a conversation because our sister Lily's in college and college kids are dumb and need to learn how to be safe. So we're just like having our little, you know, back to school safety chat with her. And what we really realized is she's not listening to nearly enough true crime. And
I was thinking about this. I was thinking because in that conversation, I know that there's because I understand that there's contention around consuming
right
true crime content, but I do think that we can't completely forget that it's actually incredibly valuable information right. for women to have, because I think about it everywhere I go. Every time yeah. I get into my car, I turn around before I get in my car. I look yeah. at my trunk and my back seat. I look under my car as I'm walking up back to my car. Like, these things that probably wouldn't happen, but they could.
But you've heard about them happening. You've mm-hmm. heard about it happening. So like, you, that's going to play in your head. Like, anytime, you know, sometimes I'll like be walking down a street and I'll see like a shadow at the end of the street and I'll get freaked out. And then when they get closer, I'll see that it's like an old man and I'm like, oh, it's fine. And then I'm like, Mary Vincent. Wait. And I think
not
of like
so fast.
All these fucked up old dudes that I've learned about that like, it doesn't matter. Ageism doesn't apply. Okay. Serial killers can be anyone that doesn't discriminate. And so you need to stay vigilant. And I was listening to a lot of My Favorite Murder in college. And I think it was smart because their whole thing is stay sexy and don't get murdered. And I think that it would behoove a lot of you to listen and watch more true crime so that you know
and
what
it's
can
not
happen
so
to you.
Much,
I think you all need to be a little bit more afraid of life. Okay,
it's not
quite
so
like me.
Much
maybe more like Phoebe.
Well, this is exactly the point I'm going to make. I don't know that it's necessarily about making yourself live in fear, but it's about learning how to live a little bit more precautiously and a little bit precautiously. It's not, but don't live in fear, because the odds of these things happening are slim, but they are there.
Yeah. And they're not maybe as slim as you think. Anyway.
And they're definitely not that slim if you're not, if you are doing certain things and if you aren't doing other things.
Yeah. Exactly. So that's just our lesson to all you little college harlots. We love you. Go do your thing. Hormone harmony. You guys know here at the Pretty Little Podcast, we are no stranger to a little bit of PMS, a little bit of a bad mood every now and then, my own mood swing. I know it sounds crazy, but it happens to even us. And sometimes one of us or both of us, but usually one of us, might stay up all night long. We're just a little bit of sleeplessness, some bad sleep quality, just not feeling super great in my body. And it's a lot easier to manage this and manage PMS and everything that comes with it, thanks to Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth is the company that created Hormone Harmony, and it is dedicated to making women's lives easier, which is what we're all about here. Always looking for little secret tips and tricks. Hormone Harmony has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. The biggest benefit, though, is that I'm just starting to feel like myself again. That's what women have mentioned over and over again in their reviews. And clock this, there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
And we are even one of them. Two of them even. So Road Warriors, for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Pretty Little Podcast at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Pretty Little Podcast for 15% off today.
So we go, well, Hannah's like pissed. Nobody wants to like, oh, shocking. Nobody wants to help Hannah.
No.
Because right now Hannah's the only one that's implicated in the crime, and the girls are pretty chill with that.
The girls are like, we can relax, Hannah. Relax, chill, okay? We can take a load off.
Hannah's like, did you not see the lease that I just showed you with my name on it? Yeah. So Hannah storms out.
We're feeling really good about that.
it's really a great look for us.
Aria almost,
Spencer's like, Aria, don't say that out loud.
Aria almost blows another one of her covers. So no wonder Hannah storms out, because then they're like, okay, well, what do we think Hottie Holbrook's role is in this? Because we don't. Now we know it was not him reaching out to Aria. We thought that he was, and whatever that would have meant. But Aria's like, yeah, no. Instead, I was being sent on this wild goose chase for. And Hannah's like, oh, like you can just see in Hannah's. She's like, oh my God.
Because it's so believable that she would do it.
Yes. The horror in Hannah's eyes. And then thank God Aria stops. Like, but a little bit late.
But Aria,
like, everyone in the room kind of noticed it.
Aria stopped just late enough that like Emily and Spencer are going to be driving home together later after they drop Aria off. And they're going to be like, so did you notice?
Okay. Yeah. I'm not crazy. Okay. Yeah. And Emily calls Hannah later. She's like, so is everything okay? It seemed like Aria like hit a nerve. Is everything, anything weird?
And Hannah's
going on?
Like, fucking classic.
Yeah. And guess what? Hannah would probably tell Emily because she believes in her friends. I don't know. But yeah. So Hannah now feels completely fucked up. So the plan is Caleb's going to corrupt the data files of the sin bin so that Hannah's name won't be attached. And then they're going to go tell Lieutenant Butterscotch that they traced Mona's computer to the storage site. And yeah, I wrote, Hannah feels like they're looking out for themselves, but not for her. What else is new?
Literally, I'm like, Hannah.
Same old.
I think this is how you feel every week. So we go to the brew, and this is so funny. Emily to Aria is like, I couldn't sleep last night thinking of Mona's body in that barrel. And Aria goes, I know. When I wasn't sleeping, I was picturing that Officer Holbrook wallpapered Ezra's apartment with my essay. Oh.
And she's right, like, because it, and it was
that's the nightmare
beautiful.
Content was, that you have right now.
It was kind of really beautiful. I just saw my words like jumping off the page, and I was like,
I almost texted you today. You know the line that I would have texted you about today that she says when she's on the couch with Ezra later?
Maybe. I don't know.
Anyway.
Well, just tell me what the line is. I don't know every line she said.
Well, no, now we have to wait. You would remember if it really struck a nerve with you.
Okay.
So, did you, Aria's outfit here.
Oh, I took notes. Yeah. Do you want me to break it down or do you got it?
Well, I just specifically wanted to, well, I thought it was apt that she's in a vest.
Quite poignant, honestly, with however, if you guys haven't listened to Tuesday's episode, we kind of go in, but Aria, yeah, I know what you're going to say. She's the antithesis to our argument.
She made it as unslutty as possible. The button down, guys, this is another instance that's similar to women's. I'm not even touching on the print yet. I'm touching on the material first, Jesus, because this is a qualm I have with the fashion.
It's a polyester shell that you would buy at Francesca's.
And I just want to say, it's similar to the epidemic of the women's t-shirt.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, why do women's button downs have to be a completely different material that I don't think, frankly, should be on a person's body? It shouldn't be like clothing material.
No.
It feels like a curtain, a bad curtain.
It's terrible. And so she, well, as Phoebe said, so it's this horrible fabric. You can tell because it's got that like sheen where it's like, oh,
and you
it's
have
cheap.
To like,
okay.
And you know that you would have to wear a cami under it, which makes it even more of an uncomfortable outfit because the shirt's uncomfortable, but then also you're in like a tight.
Yeah, you'd have
under.
To wear a cami or a tank under, unless, of course, you wear a vest over top of it. And then you definitely don't. So that was the route Aria took, the road less taken. Okay.
She has that etched into her door frame.
And she's like the day.
So every time she leaves,
tattooed.
Every time she leaves, it's like the opposite of like the Coco Chanel, like take one accessory off. When Aria sees that, she like thinks about her outfit and she's like, okay, what on my body would everybody else wear?
She's like,
let's change it.
Yeah, she's like, okay, add 5 to 7 new accessories. All right, let's do it. Challenge accepted. But the on the
Did
shirt,
you see
by the way,
video you know, that I sent you.
God, I haven't. How many times have I now tried to describe to you guys what this fucking shirt looks like? What video? Yeah,
well,
the video style ones. I saw them already.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, we got tagged in them earlier this week, so I saw them. But it was very enlightening. I liked what they said about Spencer. She won't go low, but she'll wear short skirts with tights. I was like, okay, work. And then I'm like analyzing everything I've ever seen her wear. I'm like, yeah, no, not a lot of cleavage, huh? Anywho, but this shirt has like speech bubbles, thought bubbles all over it. It looks as if it was purchased from Justice, the children's clothing store.
Well, she'd probably fit in it.
Most likely, yes. It's abysmal. And then over top of it, the vest, if I'm not mistaken, it's like that. It's not burlap, but it's like tweed, like the tweed kind. It doesn't work. And then has on like, it looks like she raided everyone's closet. She raided Spencer's for that vest, for that fugly vest. Mm-hmm. Then she raided Hannah's for that statement necklace with some coral in it because why not? And the shirt, but the shirt could also be Aria's. Because I don't think...
I thought you were going to say the shirt could also be Emily's. And I was going to be like, we been watching show?
But yeah, I thought the outfit was crazy. And she is a really good counter argument to my thesis that vests are super slut clothing. So.
So Aria leaves and Talia walks in. And Talia made pecan pie for Ezra.
Girl,
as a
relax.
Thank you for the job.
It's giving... brown noser. But Ezra loves that. He's like, it's giving teacher's pet and I love it.
And Emily is suddenly like cares about Ezra and she's like, hey,
I know.
Just so you know, he's a taken man. I heard what you said the other day.
Wait.
I heard and you know what? The owner's wife, I mean girlfriend, was just in here.
This is I don't know if this is the interaction that someone wrote in and was like, Emily and Talia have a crazy interaction next episode. I can't wait for Caroline to hear it. I don't know if this is what it was, but I particularly loved when Emily goes, he's not available. And Talia goes, okay, I'm sorry for stepping on your turf. And Emily goes, I'm not into him or any guys. Okay.
The writers were in the writers room.
They're like,
okay,
how do we communicate that someone's gay?
It's very un-Emily the way that she says it, which I think is why it is weird. But I almost forgot that even happened because of how weird Talia's next line is, hey, word to the wise, if you find out someone's gay and they've been previously talking about their ex, this isn't what you said. Talia goes, your ex was a girl.
She's like, so let me get this straight. You did date someone before and it was a girl? She like can't like compute it.
This was a more Emily response. Emily goes, yeah. And so she like just goes, she's like, yeah. And you like, need to really to step now. Off. You yeah. really need to step like, off. Yeah. With Ezra.
And by the way, I believe in the sanctity of a relationship. Okay. She's like, did you know he used to be a teacher? Show some respect. Talia's literally, like, oh my God, what happened? Why isn't he anymore? Emily's like, don't like, stick your nose where it doesn't belong.
Emily is like, and he's actually seen my really good friend. And yeah, by the way, we are in high school.
That's why Talia's like, oh, okay, well, if he's allowed to date someone your age, then I am too. Cool. So we go to the Marin Manor, and we find out that Ashley talked to Ted this morning. It's the morning after he proposed.
Note what Hannah's Googling, though.
Oh, what is she Googling?
She's Googling, like, chemical-resistant elbow-length gloves. Like, she's Googling Hannah? This.
Hannah, this show was filmed after Casey Anthony did what she did. Why didn't we learn anything from that? Okay?
Oh, you know she was all over it, too.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, Hannah Marin loves true crime. Like, for sure.
Well, that's canon. The books. Remember when she's going through a murder book?
Yes, I know. But, like, Rampage? I feel like you're so right. Like, she... People are like, oh, I bet Hannah goes home and like watches rom-coms, and she and Emily are like posted up watching like Don't Fuck with Cats, like for the fourth time, quoting mm-hmm. it. Like it's fucking Seinfeld.
But then Ashley does walk in and they talk about Ted, and she says that once you fail a marriage once, it's not so easy to say yes again.
And speaking of failed marriages, like, Brittany, we salute you.
Caroline, hey, as a married woman, mm-hmm. don't ever start a sentence like that.
Oh, I forgot that this is how I would break the news to you. If something absolutely horrific happened in my life, I would wait till we were recording to tell you.
Well, you sure. would do anything. You would do anything for content.
I would do anything for content, and we all know that.
It's like that quote. I just saw this clip of when Dan was on Big Brother, when Dan is talking to this girl, and she's like, you didn't have to. Why did you have to do it like that? I don't even know what they're talking about. But she's like, why did you have to do it like that? And Dan says, well, if I hadn't done it like that, you wouldn't have cried. And then she goes, she's like, she like looks at him and she's like, you're sick. And at first he's like, he like feels a little bad about it. And then he smiles so big.
Oh, my God.
That's Caroline.
Wait, that's so good. I think I need to go watch that season. That sounds amazing.
Caroline's going to walk into the Big Brother house with like lines.
I feel inspired. Whoa. That's hilarious. That's like a new riff on my Are You Gonna Cry that people love so much. People love when I talk about that
one. Well, except for our famous hater.
That's why I'm kidding. I'm saying people actually hate it. People actually say, and she talks about being a mean girl and laughs. Anyway,
and her sisters know better.
Know better, which I already knew, but now you all do. No, what I was saying is that Brittany Cartwright has filed for divorce from Jax Taylor. Snaps for Brittany, and a little callback to one of the greatest James Kennedy quotes ever. I think Jax will be a great first husband for Brittany. And that's, you know, I was like, I think Tom will be actually the worst, but he can't be any worse than Jax Taylor. So a great first husband for Ashley Marin, but we can grow. We can bloom and grow.
Before Ashley leaves, we see that Jason calls her. Oh, by the way, she didn't tell Pastor Ted.
Yeah, and she's not going to. And she's not going to. She's like, the only people that know about it are you and Jason. And I'm like, yeah, and A, your daughter's stalker, which I know you don't really know about, but I want you to know you should be scared. Hannah's like, I'm just wondering, like, what if, so I don't know, something crazy happened and he found out from not me or Jason or you? And from Ashley's like, well, Aria. That would never happen. Yeah. Or from Aria. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's really tough. I'm inclined to just want to root for Ashley Marin. I want the best for her. I think so much of what she does is rooted in the best intentions, and just execution mm-hmm. is really poor.
And when Jason talks to her later, like, and we called it this last episode, that it was just like, felt like a self-sabotage moment.
Mm-hmm.
And part of me is like, is it worth hurting Ted as much as that would hurt him?
Well, and I think the question is, I think here's what I think it is. I think I'm not ready to be engaged, or we need to have a really long engagement. And like, because I just think it's the timing. I mean, I don't know. Is it better to, is she really not going to do something like this again? Because like, she would need to know that. It was so out of her system. I don't know. And then on top of it, he's just such a good man. It's like,
it's like
this is going to be her back to December, isn't it?
I don't remember, honestly.
So that means yes.
So we go to the Rosewood Police Department, and Spencer shows up while Toby is looking at Allie's like polygraph stuff, and he's looking into it. And they basically, guys, we're in a pretty small room. They are scream whispering at each other for all to hear about like keeping secrets, and like, you have to tell me what you know, and like, are you afraid you're going to do something stupid? Literally, Hannah's going to do something stupid. I need to talk to you.
I need to stop Hannah from doing something. She's like using names. And also, I'm sorry, Spencer, you stick out like a sore freaking thumb, because you come in here and you look frazzled as fuck. You look like you've been up for 3 days straight, and like, you reek of coffee probably. You are not subtle, girly. You're not subtle. She's giving like manic Spencer. She is the farthest thing from
subtle.
Yeah, which is fine, but not when you're in a police station.
I laughed out loud at Spencer later in the episode.
We'll get there. And so, we'll get there. But this, I absolutely... Okay, not me like low-key thinking Lieutenant Butterscotch is eating in this episode.
This episode?
Yeah, like work. Like, I don't know that the tables
she
are turning.
She normally does, though. Like, I know that we don't like her because she's the villain in our head. She's a police officer. But she's the villain in this... instance, but
also
she
right
always
now
eats.
It's like, it's so ridiculous to me. And well, you know what it is that I really get a soft spot for her at the end of this episode, and I'll explain why when we get there. But as Spencer is there like acting insane in front of Toby, Lieutenant Butterscotch walks in and asks the question on all of our minds, shouldn't you be in school? And so it's just like, oh, it's my lunch break. You're in high school. You don't have a lunch break. You can't clock out and leave the premises.
TV writers love saying shit like that about high school.
It's like, have you ever been to a high school? Have you ever been to school?
Again, Guantanamo Bay level security.
Yeah. Well, except unless, well, I used to leave school. But I was like really cool about it and sneaky. And I would have my friend call and pretend to be mom.
And you didn't walk into the police department?
And mostly I didn't walk into the police department. I would go to like Aladdin's for lunch and then back to school.
Right. So Spencer leaves, and then Lieutenant Butterscotch asks Toby why he's looking at Allie's file. And Toby's like, it looks like the polygraph was manipulated to make it look like Allie passed. And Lieutenant Butterscotch is like, why would someone want to do that? Someone who was there would have to be the one to do it, and these were the only people there. And Toby's like, yeah, well,
yeah,
I think my boss is the one who did it. And it's like, okay, Toby.
Yeah, she says, don't make accusations you can't back up. Why would he help Allison? And I'm just like, Toby, oh my God, shut the fuck up.
This
shut
was the
fuck
most
up. He's like, well,
high
people saw them kissing at a school
ever.
At a dance. Oh my God.
Even worse than a school dance, the ice ball.
Yeah, don't say the words ice ball at work, Toby. Cadet Kavanaugh. Don't do that. It's stupid and dumb. And now Lieutenant Butterscotch is like, her eyes are rolling straight out of her head, and she goes, oh, people or your high school girlfriend? And she says, you've been a cop for all of 6 minutes. Your little research project ends here. And like, yeah. And I think part of why I am loving LB this episode is because, like, yeah, I'm like, yeah.
Toby takes it a step further. He's not only accusing his boss of kissing a minor, but he also is accusing his boss of lying about his whereabouts, because he says that he looked into whether or not his father was actually sick and found out that he's not. So that's not actually where Holbrook is. And that's when Lieutenant Butterscotch is like, You don't get to, you've been a cop for 6 minutes. You don't get to research into like discrediting your superiors.
So Arya comes to Ezra. Where are they? Are they at her house? Because he's walking around like he owns the place, but it's giving Montgomery Mausoleum.
No, yeah, they're at Arya's house.
Okay. So she is telling Ezra that she got into Talmadge, and he thinks like she's acting really hesitant about going and not sure if she's excited, which he thinks is because Jackie's there and like she's nervous about running into her. And he's like, don't worry, you're not going to run into her, but let's celebrate tonight. And he goes to leave and she stops him and tells him. And his reaction, he's like, it's actually what she always dreamed of. She gives him the email to read. He reads it and he's like, really proud of you. Great. No problem. Cool. And leaves. And she like, even it's like she tries to make him mad at her a couple times. She's like, no, but right? Aren't you so pissed at me? And he's just not. I can't really read what's happening with him that much in this episode. I can't tell if it's genuine or if it's he's being manipulative.
I just want to note one thing. Arya says that she was really nervous about being stuck in Rosewood. And that's the first time that we see Ezra, like, not just be happy about the situation. He, like, does something with his face where he starts to be like, it's selfish. He ends up feeling the way that he should feel. But in this moment, he's like, well, would it be so bad if you were stuck here with me?
Well, that's what I can't tell what he's actually, that's what I was saying. It's like, I can't tell if he's genuine in his, what happens later where he basically is like, wants to set her free, which we'll get into. I can't tell if that's genuine or if that is manipulation, like, oh, you're stuck here.
Yeah.
Like, so that
later
she'll tell him
manipulative.
That, yeah, I thought the same thing. So anyway, Hannah's at home. Caleb comes by and she's like packing all this stuff up into a duffel bag. We don't really see everything.
Where are the receipts? What is she thinking?
About buying all this stuff?
Yes.
What do you mean, where are the receipts?
Paper trail. Like, think about receipts.
Oh, well, yeah. Unless she used cash.
Oh my gosh. I'm so stressed
that
out
would have,
about it.
I mean, let's be for real. There are like 18 things that have happened already. We haven't even left Hannah's house. That like, I'm like, Hannah, okay, back to the beginning. If we were in like super spy school, she would
have to start
at the beginning of the obstacle course like over and over and over again. Yeah,
we need Mona to be back, like when Mona was training Hannah on how to say that she killed Wilden.
Yes, we need that.
We need Mona for that now.
And we need, like, Caleb is really, I get it, Caleb, you're trying to do it, but the problem is your love for Hannah is far too genuine, whereas, like, Mona had this love for Hannah, but she also was like, I want to see how far I can push you. I know you can be better. You can be the best. You know what I mean? So
Caleb has that, like,
he would love for Hannah not to have this life if she didn't have to.
He's also a protective boyfriend in a way that sometimes gets in the way.
Yes.
And is kind of annoying.
Yeah.
Less so than another boyfriend we'll talk about later, but
I'll say.
Still, sometimes that's one of the things about Caleb that annoys me. He gets, like, too much vigor.
Mm-hmm. So Hannah goes to open the door, but she, like, only opens it a crack, and he can't see it. And he's like, okay, corrupted the files. Like, what's up? Let me in your house. And she opens the door, and it's literally, like, an episode from Breaking Bad.
That's what I thought. We go to the Apple Rose Grill, and Ashley is, like, telling Jason everything he needs to know about the business, I guess, because she's quitting. And he brings up the other night. And at this point, I'm like, Jason, you just gotta, like, let it be what it was.
Well, he seems to feel really good about what happened. And she's like, look, I'm seeing someone and it's serious. And they both kind of, like, admit that they did it out of loneliness. But Jason, obviously... Jason was bothering me because, number one, he looks so hot in this episode. Like, he looks insanely hot. And I know you've thought the same thing. Don't lie.
Well, he always looks really good when his hair is cut like that.
Yeah, but this episode in particular, he looked really good.
Yeah.
So Caleb and Hannah are going into the storage unit place, and he doesn't think anyone's going to be watching the cameras right now. So I just think this whole, like, again, like, stupid things they're doing, walking in with, like, their faces completely exposed and not worrying about somebody watching the cameras downstairs, which is like idiotic and Caleb knows better, but he's cutting the wire so that the cameras up here won't catch them. I don't really understand.
No, I don't get any of it.
No.
And it's in the middle of the day. Nothing about this is smart at all.
And
also,
she,
it's like, then when we see the box later, when someone else looks at the box from where he cut the wire, we see that he just, like, left it
open
and, like, the wires everywhere. It's so fucking dumb.
It's just not, like, it's a classic case of he's letting his emotions get involved, and he's getting messy because of it. But then Hannah pulls out the drill. They start breaking into the storage unit, and that's what's going on.
Neither of them have heard from Hannah. And, oh, my God. Aria says they're, like, walking down the street, and neither of them have heard from Hannah. And so they're going to, like, go see Hannah or whatever. And Aria says, maybe I can lure her out of the house with a hot fudge brownie.
Like, what would you say if you needed to lure Emily or Spencer out of the house, Aria?
Certainly not that.
I bet I could lure Spencer out of the house with a freshly sharpened Ticonderoga pencil.
She likes the black ones for sure.
They're so nice. I don't blame her. So then Spencer pulls up like a bat out of fucking hell.
This was so funny.
Aria and Emily are just like walking down the street. And that's when Spencer pulls up and Aria's like, hey, Spencer, that's not a parking spot. Like, you can kind of tell by Spencer's frenetic energy right now, Aria. She doesn't give a fuck. So just save your breath, okay?
It's giving when Spencer came over to tell everybody that Ezra was A, the way that she, like,
yeah,
is going 1,000 miles an hour while everybody else is going, like a steady pace. And she's just, like,
this is, like,
it made me laugh out loud when she pulled up.
This is a prime example of a real, it's almost too late. Like, it's almost, like, past the point of needing crate time. But this is a really good example of, like, it's time to, hey, Toby, hey, Cadet Kavanaugh, let's get your girl in some crate time, please, because she's out of sorts. But she does deliver the news that Mona's laptop is on the move. So the girls are thinking, okay, Hannah got the laptop. They're pissed off because they didn't want her to go, like, clear out the storage unit. And they're going there to stop her, kind of. But, or they're going to, like, follow the laptop. But they're really pissed she did it. But they're also sure it's with Hannah. So, like, technically, it wouldn't be as dangerous to go chase after it.
Mm-hmm. So then we go to Jason's office, and Ashley is packing up. And even though Jason said that he wasn't going to be in the office, so it was perfect timing for Ashley to go clear her stuff out, he walks in, and he's like, oh, I can leave. I thought you'd be done by now. And Ashley says he can stay.
He notices while she's packing up her stuff that she's not wearing the ring, and he asks, like, engagement and no ring? And she admits she hasn't given him an answer yet because she has some hesitation about, like, becoming a pastor's wife and just doesn't want any skeletons in her closet to reflect poorly on Ted or anything like that. This is where Jason kind of loses me, even though he looks so hot and I love his outfit. He's got on, like, this polo. It's, like, tight around his arms. Uh-huh. They're so muscular. The light is glinting off his muscles, okay? But this is where he's losing me because I just feel like Ashley set a boundary and he didn't respect it. And, like, up until he didn't respect it, it was very, like, I thought it was respectable, honestly. And I was like, okay, like, they're going to handle this in a mature way. It's going to be fine. But then when he ultimately, and we can just skip to the end of this, when they ultimately walk out of his office, it's nighttime also. Like, how long were we in here? But he's hugging her and they're having this conversation. And is that where he says, did you do it because you're self-sabotaging?
He said, yes. Something. Yeah, he's weaving that in and out. He's like, I've been at points in my life, like, on the cusp of really good things, and I've done something to set me back. And he was like, is that kind of what's happening here? And at first, during the daytime, Ashley's like, no, that's not what's happening. And then at night, she's like, it probably is a little bit of that. Like, I'm scared of a good thing. And then Jason does Rosewood's favorite thing to do, which is just to, like, kiss someone who has given you no body language, no inkling that they actually want to be kissed.
Well, they did come right out of a hug. That's the only thing I'll give him. They were physically touching. So, like,
I guess,
in terms of any inclination, they could feel each other's body heat. So, like,
I guess, but
I'm still just like, that's where she put up a boundary, and it's not appropriate for you. Yeah, I guess that's what I mean. Like, you know, like
now this hug doesn't have, shouldn't have.
Yeah, now it's
same.
Not nice. Now nothing that just happened is like means anything. It seems like it was just all a ploy to like get her back to this point, and I kind of hate it now, but whatever.
This is our first Sarah McLachlan montage that starts for some reason. It's just such a weird part of the episode for this to exist. The things that we're watching don't really like, it doesn't have the vibe that these montages would normally have because something's actively happening in the car with the girls.
Well, yeah,
but
I was gonna say
first we see
like
Ezra. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I feel like it's not even like this one. I was calling it a montage, but like it's not even because literally it's like only the still of like Arya, literally Arya's like wet dream, or Ezra sitting in his office just rereading her writing. Oh, I know. And she goes, "I'm a good writer. I'm a really good writer." Yes. That was the line. Yeah, of course I clocked that. Yeah. Of course I did. I just couldn't remember it off the top of my head, but yes, because this is exactly what she's always wanted, is for him to be so captivated by her prose that he can't put it down. He can't possibly go about his day at the brew.
Right, and it has to be her writing skills. It can't be that she's written like some devastating words about her boyfriend and he's like, no. Whoa, I've ruined this girl's life.
No.
Couldn't be that. So we go to the RAV4, Spencer's car, and the GPS is taking them to the computer. And they're like, Spencer in her head is like, Caleb has to be with her.
Well, out loud, Spencer's like, I just don't understand why Caleb would help Hannah. Maybe because he's in love with her and they're dating. What? What do you mean you do? And Spencer's like, I kind of thought we were vibing. Guess not.
Emily's like, aren't you guys both in different committed long-term relationships?
Emily's like, hey, Spence, and? Caleb's taken by my really good friend. Okay? It's not interested. It's off the market. I'm not interested in any guys for that matter.
And my ex is a girl.
Last time we checked.
And now we've said it. So we go to the storage. You may go back. And I'm like, okay, 100 trillion things have happened since the last time we were there. We're still working on this.
Girl, I thought the same thing.
It's the afternoon and we're still like, we're taking our time.
Well, it's actually not the afternoon anymore. It's now nighttime, as we learned when Ashley and Jason walked out of his office.
This is why I'm confused. No, because that is later. So there is, you're right about there being a lot of time spent in the office.
No,
that
does
really
happen.
No, remember we jumped forward.
No, but we've passed it now, I think.
No, because it's still daytime in the ice cream factory.
Oh, okay.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, sorry. You're right.
But yes, they're doing the lock and they finally get in and we realize that the storage unit has been all cleared out except for the bin. And Caleb's like, all right, we got to open it. And Hannah, this is the first time I think Hannah's like actually let herself be like, Mona could be in there.
Yeah. The thought is honestly like so grody, but they're like, why would he leave the barrel, the most incriminating piece of evidence? And so Caleb's like, I don't know, but we need to open this shit. And obviously Hannah can't do it. So they say like, fine, they're not going to open it, but they do have to take the barrel out. So they're going to get the dolly that Hannah ordered. And then we jump back to the girls.
So we go into something that we don't know at first. We don't know what it is at first. And we walk in and Spencer realizes that we're in an ice cream factory, but Spencer says ice cream like Jenny Slate does.
I wrote that down too.
Why
she goes,
does she say
we seem to be in an ice cream factory?
Why does she say it like that? Also, little we girl, don't see Spencer say
is it time for ice cream?
She did it in like ADR or something because we don't see her say it. So that means that Troyan had like a chance to say it.
No one says ice cream.
No one.
Anthony
might.
Yeah, just to be annoying. No one says that for real. But I couldn't believe that. Like, okay, you're going to let her say it like that and none of the girls are going to snicker? No way. I don't care how serious the circumstances are. I'm letting out a giggle if I hear that. Are you
Me
kidding?
Too.
Ice cream. I literally wrote ice cream like Jenny Slate. That's so funny. So they hear a door close, which is always a good sign when we're in a dark factory, dark ice cream factory.
And these girls are so stupid because exactly. They're like, what has to be Hannah and Caleb? I'm like, oh, it has to be.
It's called Be Quiet. It's called, hey, let's play the quiet game.
These girls continue to be stupid.
They continue.
Because then Arya says, this place is really big. We should probably split up. And Emily goes, yeah, you're right.
She goes, I'll go upstairs. Up a flight of steps. If we're going to be splitting up, I can assure you it will all be on the main floor. We will only be switching levels as a team, okay? Mm-hmm. I just feel like, yeah, we're at season 5. We're still doing this shit. My sympathies wearing
and
thin.
Also, this gives the kind of show, I think maybe because of how original Sin is, but it gives that these girls, like, part of their character would be like, people in horror movies always like,
make this mistake.
They always, yeah. Exactly. That feels very Arya.
So Hannah and Caleb are going to get the dolly. We're back at the storage unit. And they run into none other than Toby and Lieutenant Butterscotch.
This cut was, I would have shrieked if I were one of them because the lights flicker.
I know.
And then we see shadows like the hatch.
Wait, I thought
slasher.
I imagined that. I thought I fully imagined the lights going off because it was so
they flicker and then we see two shadows and then we see them turn the corner, lights flicker again, lights come back on, and it's Toby and Lieutenant Butterscotch. And Toby is carrying a, whatever the hell it's called.
What?
Massive pliers.
I also just want to know what you think would be scarier, running into Toby and Lieutenant Butterscotch or like A. You know, like in this moment, I'm not sure.
That's a close call. I mean, if I'm Hannah and my name is on a lease for a storage unit that could have a dead body in
it.
That's
what I'm saying.
Probably that.
That's what I'm
saying.
I'd
rather be dead.
So they're coming up with their story that Caleb's going to rent a storage unit because he's got a bunch of stuff and blah, blah, blah. And LB asks Toby if he knew that Caleb was going to do this. Toby says no. And then Hannah, who's got this enormous rosewood duffel bag, which like, anytime I see someone talking to a cop and they have a bag, I'm like, it's only a matter of time before they ask what's in it. And what are you going to say, Hannah? Thank God we didn't get there. But she does say, are you nervous? And Hannah's like, yeah, because I don't know. I might piss myself.
I thought she was going to be like, she ate something bad. Like, I thought that was going to
be. But if she's like, yeah, I'm nervous. You make me nervous. I'm nervous. Boyfriend.
Wait, that's so Hannah. That would have been so endearing.
I know. But that's fine.
That's not
it's
what
almost
happens.
Like that's how she starts it. She's like, I am nervous that I might have an accident.
So they leave. Hannah and Caleb leave because Lieutenant Butterscotch is like, well, you better hurry. And then these people have no poker faces, Caleb and Hannah. They literally could not look guiltier after that conversation. Lieutenant Butterscotch goes over to, you know, they're making their way over to the unit and they see the wire box that Caleb left open and left the wires just spilling out of. And she's like, someone's camera shy.
They do have a search here. Okay, question. LB and Toby have a search warrant for the bin. So wouldn't they then know that Hannah's name? Like, I feel like in order to get a search warrant for it, then they would have to know who owned the unit.
But she doesn't own it. I wonder if, like, she only had to, right now, she might have only had to go to the facility.
But still, like, whoever's renting it.
I don't know.
It just, I don't know. I'm like,
none of my business.
I guess. So we're back at the ice cream factory and Spencer's hearing like muffled voices and follows the sound. I wrote, so does Emily. Is this the dollhouse? I really was thinking like this was about to turn into the dollhouse at any second. Emily pulls a curtain. Here, this was interesting too. Emily pulls a curtain back and we hear like a cat in heat and then a dead animal jumps out. What made that sound? There's like a dead possum on the ground.
This, I think it's a rat. This rat has been there because of the tail. This rat, but it doesn't look like it didn't make the sound because it looks like it's been dead for a second.
So, yeah. So like what did though? You know what I mean?
I have no idea.
Just show us that.
Emily doesn't look for what made the sound and said she just picks up the freeze dried almonds and looks at it like it's a clue.
I literally was just going to say as if she's Nancy, like, I'm sorry. I was like, what is the significance of this?
She's like, almond. Almond. A is for almond.
Almond mom Pamphile. Oh my God. Mom owns an ice cream factory. This is a shock. This is a shock. We're dairy free. Anyway, Elby and Toby get into the storage unit and see the barrel. This is where, can we go through this part? Sorry, we keep going back and forth and I fucking hate it.
Go ahead.
But this is where I think I got my like moment for LB, where I had a soft spot and I was like, okay, I kind of love you here. Because it's sweet. It's actually like low-key gonna make me cry because they open the barrel and Toby goes, oh, what is that smell? And she goes, I'm not sure. Can you go call someone and ask them, tell them we need a hazmat team? And I was just like, that's so sweet because she knows exactly what that fucking smell is. And he doesn't because as she mentioned before in this episode, he's been a cop for 6 minutes. So this might be the first time. We know the kind of things he's been doing. This might be the first time he has had to deal with something like this. And the fact that it's not, oh, it smells so bad. It's what's that smell? And she's like, I don't know. She can't, like, she's like protecting him in this moment. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I just thought it was like,
it's sweet.
It was like a sweet moment where she didn't have to be that sweet. And then she gets on the ground and sees a spot of blood that I thought looked to be fresh. I was like, oh, did Hannah get a nosebleed? Like,
that's what I'm saying.
It's bright red.
It doesn't look like it would have at this point, especially with the, I mean, she doesn't know what kind of traffic was being, what foot traffic was going on in there. Mm-hmm. But what we saw, it's like, I mean, with everything that was in there, all the moving around,
there's no way.
Obviously, it was probably deliberately.
Oh, I was just thinking that. Maybe
put there. But
prick of the finger.
I want to note, I think hazmat is one of the most baller terms ever. The fact that it stands for hazardous materials team, and like for I mean, probably like a century. The fact that way back when they were calling it hazmat.
The fact that way back when they understood how chic and like fun a abbreviations are.
Mm-hmm. Hazmat.
How boring is the English language with no abbreviations? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're not using abbreviations, get real. That's it.
Get real or get lost.
That's kind of the motto here. If you're not using abbreviations, get lost.
Get real or get lost.
Get real, get lost. Get real, get lost. Get your head in the game. I gotta get my head in the game.
So then we go to the ice cream factory. And Spencer found the source of the voices. It's Mona's laptop. And like, what we don't really know what this room is yet, but it's another room. It's like a vault.
Are we gonna know? And she goes in there.
Yeah.
Are we gonna keep coming back here? But it's not the dollhouse for sure.
No. I mean, we know by the end of this episode what this room is.
Oh, well, I can't. Everything is dark, Fee. How can you tell which way is freaking up? Because I can't. I'm literally like, if I were in there, I'd be like, like, I might as well be Jenna in there because Caroline, it basically, is
Caroline,
completely
as soon
dark.
As she walks in with like three people who are having the exact same sensory experience, Caroline goes, guys, no one freak out. No one freak out, but I can't see a thing.
I just lost my eyesight. I am trying not to freak out, but oh, I just poof lost my eyesight. Oh, does anyone else think it's all dark? Can we get a light in here? I went from like my fake nervous laughter to real laughter, but I bet you guys couldn't tell who was who. And that's
who was who, not what was what.
Precisely.
Okay,
oh, you caught
real
that.
Georgia vibes.
Oh, you caught that, huh? Wait, there was something I was just about to say that was important, and now it's away.
Now it's away is
now
so
it's,
funny.
Now it's away. Wait, what were we just?
One of my favorite.
It's so
Caroline.
Dark. Oh, I just want to. What? Go ahead. I want to hear this.
On the Tuesday episode, Caroline goes, let me just tell you. Wait. No, not that tell you thing anymore.
I don't remember that. I did listen. I actually thought Tuesday's episode was really good.
I think it was pretty funny.
It was funny. I was cracking up a little bit. I was LOLing. Actually, when we started talking about your TikTok, it is so funny. Anyway, no. Here, wait, shoot. Did I just lose it again? Oh my God, I need a lobotomy. Oh, yeah, I got it. Okay, so guys, I just want anyone to know, I'm certain we don't have any overlapping listeners, but if anyone here does listen to the other one, I just want you to know that Tamman telling you all that 18 years old is, quote, late to lose your virginity is an irresponsible thing to say and not true, just so you all know.
So Spencer gets into this room and she sees that it's Mona's laptop that's in there, and it's playing a video of Caleb and Hannah that we all saw earlier. Hannah's computer was recording them having their entire plan conversation, so we now know that they tipped themselves off to A.
Also, if Hannah's computer was recording their entire conversation, then Phoebe's correct. It also got everything she searched. It got her packing up everything that she bought to hide a body.
Everything, bedroom, dance sesh. Imagine the stuff that Hannah does. When she's just like by herself.
I just know when she takes an everything shower, she's got like a playlist and she's like in such a good mood. And Ashley's downstairs like, oh, Hannah. And we just hear her up there like jamming out, like jumping around. And she like comes down and she's like, Mom, I was thinking we could watch a movie. Wait, is it just Lily and Mom?
Is that just Lily and Mom? Spencer finds like a wrench so she can keep the door open. She learned from the kiln. And then Aria pulls up and she's like, somebody knows we're here. We have to go find Emily. We hear footsteps. And then A like pushes Aria in, pushes the door shut, locks it, and turns the fucking freezer on. And I do have a question in regards to this. Later when we see how long it takes Emily to get these girls out of here.
Okay.
Which, by the way, if I'm on a team of these four.
I wish you guys could see what Phoebe did. By the way, Phoebe did the ride and move like with her hand like, ooh, like I'm driving a car with a steering wheel. Sheep, sheep. That's what she did.
Wait, I love that Carol is trying to describe the move that I did, and she's just doing it over and over again.
And I'm with describing different sound effects. In no uncertain terms.
But if I'm like, if I have to have, I know this is going to sound strange because under no circumstance do I want to be the one in the freezer. But I also really don't want to be the one who has to get them out of the freezer.
Why?
Imagine having like all this pressure, like having to figure, like you're looking at an ancient thing and you have no idea how to work it. And your friends are in there freezing to death.
I think my thing is more like, yeah, that would be stressful, but I'd be more annoyed when I inevitably got them out in no time at all. And they were like being dramatic. Like, I'm so cold. Like, we're in an ice cream factory. Like, what did you expect? Bring a jacket next time.
I did. Always been prepared.
I'm always prepared. Aria's like, I'm wearing 17 layers, Emily. I always have a jacket on.
Emily comes down, finds them.
And by the way, the box is filling up with liquid nitrogen.
Right. So they're going to freeze to death. Emily takes the wrench and starts like hitting the thing that turned it on.
I guess that's what it is. It does nothing at all. I'm like, what? It's just nothing. Like the wall. It's just like a random thing. I'm sorry, Emily, you're better than this.
And Emily then, once she hits that off the wall, takes like 30 seconds to get on her knees and just like look at them through the window.
She's like, it's so beautiful, crystallized. Yeah, there's like literally like snowflakes building on the windows, and she's like, it's so beautiful. I love Christmas. Oh my God, that's Aria, what's happening. She's in a trance. She thinks it's Christmas. She's like, this is the most beautiful snow globe I've ever seen.
Vortex.
Yeah.
And so then
Emily's like, me next.
She gets it's like the girl from Santa Claus 3, which is in the snow globe thing.
Yes.
Emily picks up the wrench again and then hits this pipe that she sees some stuff coming out of. She hits that, breaks that. Nothing happens still.
Except for that now Emily is also hurt. Emily hurts herself in the process.
And then she just does the move and the door opens. And what? And what part of this all, you using the wrench to hit every surface you can, which thing unlocked the door?
Yeah. Well, now we'll never know.
Or was it unlocked the whole time? You just had to open it.
Was it unlocked the whole time and the girls just could have pushed it?
I don't think that part is true.
Anyway, so the girls get out and, like, of course, they're like, I'm so cold. All right. The girls escape from this. This is when I realize that it's not the dollhouse. So, good. We're now back at the brew. And Emily's calling Hannah to let her know, like, what happened. But we still can't find her. We haven't seen her. And so Emily is super stressed and, like, runs into the kitchen and runs into Talia, who I guess is making... like apple pie, Phoebe would know.
Apple pie, yes. And Emily says, Ezra asked me to come close up. If I don't have a shift.
Well, but don't forget, Emily is looking for added responsibility. Like, she wants a raise. So she might be trying to.
No. I agree. I know why Emily said yes, but I don't actually ascribe to that. But I'm just saying. Ezra, there's someone there working.
Well, yeah, that's what I would say is like if like, someone Talia's is there. Working
and there's a cashier we see in the front.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Who got a lot of screen time, by the way. Good for you, girl.
Congrats. And Talia's like, well, why don't you just finish my apple pie and I'll put some stuff away. What?
So weird. So Emily's like, I'm scared. She's afraid to do it because what if she ruins it? And Talia's like, you literally can't. And turns out that's not true. But as she's showing Emily how to stir, she pulls a leaf out of Emily's hair and is like, what were you running through the woods? Emily's like, you have no idea. Hey, Talia, stay away, okay? You don't actually want to know what I was doing here.
Sorry, it's actually just a freeze-dried almond that came out of my hair. And... then Talia turns her back, and I know that we were just saying that Emily's afraid that she's going to screw this up so badly, but she gets comfortable real quick because she pulls out her phone.
Yeah. This is like, okay, Gen Z vibes. Can't even spend a minute off her freaking phone. That's what they all say. But she got a text from Hannah.
I didn't write the text down.
So I guess if you are worried about your friend and you get a text, I guess that makes a little bit more sense. I'll give Emily a pass. She's a text from Hannah that says, I did go to the bin, and so did Toby and LB. Oh, my God. In this moment, in this one moment, this is why they say, don't text and drive. They were like, okay, we can't do a car crash. Been there, done that. We just had Toby get in a car accident, and, like, we spent, like, 30 seconds on that. Hannah's been hit by a car and various other things. And then, of course, you know, we had the infamous car crash in Glee, the Quinn Fabre move. So instead of... talking about texting and driving, we're going to talk about texting and cooking. Look away for 1 second. Look what could happen.
Flambe. And the apples catch on fire, but don't worry. Talia is able to put the fire out.
And then Talia and Emily start going, I think the apple's rotten right to the core. And they start doing the choreography. And we're like, wait, what?
And they're like, and Emily's like, wait. Did you learn how to do that dance for the Pretty Little Podcast too?
And Talia's like, girl, you are so confusing. All right. So Talia's like being so nice though. She's like, no, wait, actually, like, I'm burnt. Like, it's fine. Okay. Someone found out Emily's not into guys. Any guys. Okay.
For that matter.
Yeah. Arya and Ezra are having Chinese food and he has a gift for her. To celebrate
Guys,
her getting
his
helmet.
I'll give you one guess. You only need one.
The most perfect gift for Arya there ever was.
Do you want to be sick to your stomach for a second?
No.
Stay here for 2 seconds.
Great. Hey, guys. You heard her ask me. Turns out I didn't have a choice ever. She's running. God damn it. She's always showing off. Okay, stop it. Running so fast, like a sprint. What? Oh. Oh. Oh, my God. No. Hello, is everyone still there? I'm sorry. I can't even tell you what I just saw. What I just saw was so horrible. Phoebe, yours is worse.
Why is it worse?
Because it has three initials. So I have two. But do you think it only has two because Ezra doesn't know her middle name?
Arya doesn't have a middle name.
He's like, hey, by the way, what is your middle name? Phoebe is holding up the exact gift that Ezra gave Arya in this episode.
I really contemplated whether I was going to bring this up.
Well, you seemed actually excited because you ran.
Well, we needed the laughs this ep, I feel.
Oh, great. You think this was bad? Should we start over?
No.
I think I've been performing.
But this is crazy.
Stop holding it up like that. Oh my God, you guys. Phoebe has the real thing. Take a picture, please, and send it to me.
It's literally the exact
Exactly. Wait, but guys, also, by the way, I got the recipe. Guys, by the way, it didn't take much time at all. It turns out all I had to do was post that gnome video and then like threaten a little bit extra that she didn't know about yet. And she was like, that's enough. Here, okay, fine. Okay, uncle. Anyway, so he's giving her this gift and it's a leather bound notebook embossed with her initials, just like Phoebe's. And it's clear that after he's like read this email a little bit, it's got him thinking. And he's like, I don't want you to miss out on everything you missed out on in high school because of me. And that's where I'm like, it's giving manipulation. Yeah. Like, I'm not into
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It's giving he wants her to feel worse than she already does.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, woe is me. Like, you wrote all this stuff. Like, you... It's like when you get in a fight with someone and they're like... I don't know how I'm trying to articulate it. It's just really rubbing me the wrong way.
It's manipulative. It's, oh, well, apparently you missed out on stuff because of me.
Yeah.
He says, you know, she's like, Ezra, enough. Like, I told you, none of that was real. It was just like, whatever. And he says, well, it rang true for a reason. She said, yeah, because I'm a good writer. I have expected her to go, oh, so you don't think I'm a good writer? Answered into that. But yeah, that Phoebe, that is the line. The most
and
Arya
she
line.
Delivers it. She delivers it exactly how Caroline would make it up if it were a line that Caroline was just saying. Arya said,
"Thank you. You do it."
She says, she's literally sitting on the couch and she goes, "Yeah, because I'm a good writer."
That is exactly how she says it. And so Ezra's like, "I think if we stay together, you'll resent me." And she's like, "What do you mean if?" I can discover myself and meet new people and still be with you. And he is kind of like pushing her to take some time for herself and make sure if they end up together later, like there wouldn't be any regrets. And he says, promise me you'll at least think about it. And like, I know I was just on him because I think he's being manipulative, but this might be the nicest thing he's ever done. He's being like, please God,
and he should
think
have done
it.
He should have done it like 2 years
five
ago.
5 seasons ago, yeah.
Arya's pissed though. Then we go to the Hastings Castle and it's Hannah and Spencer and they are both just like screaming at each other. Like, did you tell Toby? Spencer's like, no. And Hannah's like, how did he know? And they just are like so mad at each other.
Yeah. Well, and I think Spencer's also just like so mad at this situation and she's so frustrated because Hannah's like, I don't believe you didn't know. You must have told him. And for Spencer to be like, it's worse because, yeah, I wish I did tell him, but I didn't. So I don't know how he knows because he doesn't tell me anything anymore. And it's so frustrating because it's like, whose side is Toby on? It's what it must feel like for Spencer. It's like, can she even trust him anymore? Their relationship is so different. She doesn't know, like, who she can turn to. And I think she just feels very frustrated that she is out of the loop now, that Toby is not going to be including her in this anymore.
I have
not
a note for Toby.
Okay.
Both times he's done something to like protect Spencer. When he joined the A team and now he's on the police force, both times all it's done is drive a wedge between Spencer and him. It like never actually brings them closer or makes their relationship stronger. And it very rarely protects Spencer.
Well, I feel like it's also sorry, men. It's kind of that man thing of like, no, like I need to feel like I'm protecting you. Like it's not even about whether he's actually protecting
her. That's
why
it bothers you when Caleb does it.
Right.
It's like, it's
my job.
He's like too mannish, but he doesn't come off like he should be a guy that's acting like he's like such a man.
And I think
in that way,
like neither Hannah nor Spencer likes that, but Hannah will like let Caleb have it a little bit more. Like she's secure enough that she's like, okay, you can protect me, whatever.
Like give
but
and take.
Spencer's like
give and take with Caleb and Hannah, but with Spencer and Toby, the expectation for Spencer is she's like, I'm holding the leash, and you're like gonna just help,
right?
And
if
I
you
love
get
that
off
about
the leash,
you.
Then
you
I'm gonna start driving a steamroller. So I would be.
She's
careful,
like, I actually
Toby.
Don't need more than that. It's not about her being controlling. She's just like, I know what I need.
Yeah.
And I'll go find someone else who will give it to me, Toby, if it can't be you.
Well.
Which is the vibe at the end of this episode. Jesus Christ.
I guess, yeah. So Spencer's also mad that Hannah's pinning this on Toby. And she actually accuses Hannah of screwing Caleb over, too. And I'm like, again, why do you care, Spencer? Worry about your own man.
And Hannah didn't like that. Hannah
said, she leaves. Nice. Storms off. And that's when Spencer makes a call to Toby. And he ignores it because LB enters and she needs to talk to Toby.
And she says basically that they aren't going to know if it was Mona in that barrel for a little bit. But if that drop of blood matches Mona, I'm like, okay, if it matches anybody in the world, you should probably bring them in. But she says if it matches Mona, she will bring in the first people she brings in for questioning will be Toby's friends.
Is it because they know that Hannah's name is on the storage bin? Like, I'm confused. Like, why, if it's Mona's blood, does it absolutely mean those four?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, because
she's
kind of
losing.
They
me.
Still think Allison killed Mona. So who would have helped
but
her?
Had help.
Would have, but I'm still
but I'm
like,
just like,
why
it being Mona's
blood doesn't mean
I
that.
Would it would need to be someone else's blood, in my opinion, for it to implicate someone else, really.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, it needed to be like Hannah's blood or something to prove that she was even there. Because
so it must be the lease. But I don't know.
But they didn't mention it, which just seems like they would have.
I agree.
Maybe it's just like implied that they know, but I don't know. So LB is like, listen, withholding information is not an option. So if there's anything I need to know, now is the time to tell me.
You took an oath, brother. So we go to the brew. Emily's on the phone. Shay Mitchell's acting up a storm on this couch for this phone call.
What's
Why
also,
is she so heated?
Well, what's also funny is that, like, okay, so Hannah and Emily are good.
Hannah and Emily are good.
Fine. It's only Sparia that hates Emily right now. I mean, Hannah right now. And, like,
which
that's
is
about
typical.
Right. Yeah.
And also, this happened so much this episode where, like, they are just talking about this stuff, screaming out in the open.
I guess the brew, like, we're supposed to believe it's closed, but there, as Phoebe mentioned, are people working there. So it's just like they're never careful. Emily's feeling a
and
little
And I'm
too
like,
comfy.
Is Emily the only person with a key? Is that why she was sent there? Because she hasn't done an ounce of closing work. She's just been sitting on the couch.
She's just been on the freaking phone. She's been on her, glued to her freaking phone. Can we just unplug him, literally? Yeah, well, I wonder if also... Oh, shoot, what was I? God. Oh, I'm like, Emily, we know that Hannah's computer was just filming her in the safety of her own home. If she's not safe there, what makes you think you are safe to talk about this here? Yeah,
exactly.
Like, it's just, come on, we got to use our brains a little bit. But she's telling
Hannah,
she's really not so sure that it's Holbrook anymore because she has a hard time believing that he would be willing to kill for Allison. And this is when Talia comes out with her hair down. So Emily hangs right up. Like, that's a choice, Tal, huh?
Talia says, don't even worry about the apples. My apple pie turned into an apple flambé. That's how she says every line.
She's a bad actor.
Turned into an apple flambé.
And character.
She's so annoying. and Emily's...
Are you okay?
I just heard something.
Like what?
I don't know. Something fell.
And you didn't even scream?
No, I didn't.
Maybe you're not my sister. I've been wondering because you don't look anything alike.
I'm going to make sure my door is locked.
Okay. I'm going to keep going. So Emily is like, look, I'm sorry. I've been kind of a mega biatch, a massive biatch. And I just like, I need some sleep. I need to rest and recharge. And Talia says, you can't recharge on an empty stomach. So she made Emily mashed potatoes, which seems kind of like a random food. I get it's a comfort food, but whatever. And so that's when Emily is like, look, I can't imagine what you must think of me. Ever since you got here, I've been, and Talia goes, neurotic. And Emily agrees, but I want to say neurotic is just never a word I would use to describe Emily Fields. I don't know about you.
No, it's also so mean, I felt.
Yeah, like maybe like say if you want to go for neurotic, but you don't want to be a bitch, maybe say like frazzled, a little hectic.
Yeah.
A little stressed, yeah. Even. We could keep it as simple as stressed.
Lots of options. And Talia's like, it's okay because I know I've come off as a total control freak.
And like, Emily's that is like, true. Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Emily, honestly, like at this point, I still don't think she's like, I'm not getting the vibe that Emily's into Talia at all.
I think Emily's just like, okay, well, thanks. Anyway, Emily's low-key like, look, I'm your boss, okay? Like, I feel like Emily like thinks she's like in charge of Talia for some reason. But Talia brings up her little Ezra comment when she was talking about his nice buns. And she says she didn't say that because she's into him. She's into Emily and she's trying to figure out if she's into guys or girls. And Emily, in classic Emily fashion and classic Megan Albatross fashion, says nothing with her words, but everything with her eyes. And Talia gets up and leaves to go finish cleaning.
Exactly right. Exactly right. So then we go to the Caleb's apartment and Hannah tells him about the video and we just have like a Caleb like, you go down, we go down together moment. He's like, okay, well, if they arrest you, they're going to have to arrest me and we will be arrested at the same time. You might not be in the same jail, but we'll both
Hannah's
be.
Like,
we'll
can
both
inmates
go down.
Have conjugal visits? Can two inmates in different jails have conjugal visits, though? She's just wondering. She's like, Bonnie and Clyde. It's giving.
I know, she's so stoked for it.
Yeah, for real. So Aria is, of course, going. Wait, this is so fucking funny. Wait, I actually need us both to like lock in here because this is so fucking funny. Aria.
The yearbook.
Going. Yeah. Aria's going through her yearbook. It literally has written on the cover, best years of your life. Okay. Imagine being one of these four girls and having to see a yearbook that says best years of your life. And you've had the high school experience they've had. Okay. But. She's going through, she's looking at everyone's pictures and they have all their activities listed underneath their picture. Her picture is the only one that has nothing. I'm like, not even the fucking, you were the stage manager of the play once. What about that?
Exactly.
Nothing? Nothing?
I have two things to say about it. One, it's not just because of Ezra.
Oh, I was going to say, are we insinuating that it's because she's been dating Ezra, that he's her only extracurricular? What about all the class? Like, put something about the classes you took at Hollis or the volunteer work you've been doing at Radley. I don't care if none of it was fucking legit. Like, those are, let me see Spencer's. Because I guarantee you, the other girls have shit on their
and
fucking yearbooks.
Emily.
They at least have choir.
Emily's got shit going on.
They at least like, have choir. Yes.
Confusing to me.
It's just so funny though. Like everyone has like three lines of shit underneath
also,
their pictures.
Like,
hers has nothing. The picture is hilarious too. I'm like, no way that's her senior. That's not her picture, but okay.
There are also like always kids in your school who also don't do anything.
Yeah.
So like,
well, and every
you four
kid
weren't the
stacked.
Only ones with nothing listed.
Well, I want to see the, of course we don't, but I would love to see the other girls. It's just, it's so funny. So then
now we get
this is
second,
part of our montage though. It starts there.
This is our
there.
Second Sarah McLachlan.
Yeah. And we get
then
a
we
long
go to Ashley.
Pause. Yeah, Ashley Marin.
And she's just looking at her ring, putting it on, putting it off.
Putting it on.
Etc.
Putting it off. Yeah, pretty much. And then we have Spencer, our final stop of the montage. Just
did we
staring
talk
at
about
the ceiling.
What she's wearing?
Converse, a striped shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
She's the all-American girl.
Didn't feel very Spencer.
It seems a little bit Emily, but it also, like, if we remember what the video that we watch, she does say there was like a whole season where she was dressed as an American flag every day. So this
These
is actually
her relaxing clothes.
Yes, this is her house clothes.
And she's doing her only activity she can do. This, I always make fun of her for how she just sits in the house and doesn't watch TV or do anything or sit on her phone. But this is crate time.
Well, yes. And she doesn't need to watch TV because I feel like in her mind constantly, it's like when you're tuning the channels and it's just like, and okay, we got a home run. Andy killed her with a gun. Like, it's just like going through all the stations and then we get, life is a highway. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and then Cars is playing?
No, that was a song.
I know, but it's not only in Cars. What else is it in?
Well, it's a Rascal Flatts song. I believe it was, it's not, it can play on the radio and Cars doesn't have to be playing.
I know, but if we're tuning, oh, the radio. Those channels.
Mm-hmm. It's typically not really like that you when you're changing TV channels. It's not like,
why I was a little confused.
Guys, was anyone else confused? Probably not. Probably not. So Spencer's crate time is interrupted by Toby calling, but thank God, because she's driving me nuts with this like talk to me thing. And Toby, okay, Toby, in your Pretty Little Liar era, okay,
big time.
Okay,
he's like, I'm
justice
swamped.
For Spencer. She's on my nerves a little bit this app, but like, mm-mm.
He's like, I'm swamped with paperwork. I'm gonna be here so late. Spencer's like, I don't care when you get here. Just get here.
So wait, did Tanner, I wrote down a note, but I can't tell if this is what it means because I'm not really registering. Did Tanner get an anonymous call that's how they found out about that bid?
Yeah.
Okay. So Tanner ended up getting an anonymous call that Mona was in the barrel, that was in the bin. So now Toby's told her how he knew, but he says he can't talk about what is in the barrel, which I'm just like, Toby, like, I don't know. I know that, like, I get it, but I'm also just like, dude. You know what
I
mean?
That's how I feel about it. And then we realize Toby's fucking lying through his teeth. He gets into his truck and
puts
leaves.
Puts on his freaking leather jacket, gets in his car, and heads out. Thank God I didn't find my friends yet. Because let me tell you.
Oh, that's Spencer.
Spencer would have had Spencer would actually have downloaded a software into her phone. You know that like horrible software they have where like they're always like, if you go abroad, watch out, you need to have a certain type of bag because people have like these machines when they walk by you, they'll just like swipe your card information. Mm-hmm. You know that like thing.
Yeah,
I feel like Spencer has that, but she's just collecting everyone's locations. Like she's like grabbing their find my friends. Yes, I mean, yeah, I feel like Hannah and Spencer for sure have more of, and Aria is the only one who won't share her location, except with
so
Ezra.
Annoying.
Ezra has it.
When everybody was like getting on Sheena for having Max's location, I was like,
give me a break.
I was like,
it's the most normal thing she's done.
Nick on the Vile Files being like, I mean, I don't have anyone's location. I don't know. And none of my friends, none of us do it. Okay. Nick, well, you're old.
Victoria
you're 45.
Fuller does it. Let me tell you. Victoria Fuller. Vicky does it.
Guys, Nick? I was watching a Tennessee Titans video came up on my For You page. And it was all of the players, like girlfriends and wives and families. And about halfway through the video, I see a familiar face.
Vicky?
Victoria Fuller.
Icky Vicky? Is that you?
She's a wag?
Hey, Vicky. Oh, so icky. Just the thought of being around you makes me oh, so sicky. You know that song?
Yeah, if someone said that about me, I would.
If called you icky?
Well, that whole song
You'd be
is
upset?
So mean.
Okay, but she's a nasty, mean babysitter. And maybe she deserved it, is all I'm saying. And Splat, just kidding. Just kidding, guys.
Our
it's AC, not over.
I really liked how they blended the whatever song was playing, whatever indie hit was playing, into the Sinister A music. They did a really good job of that.
Sound
really
mixing, Emmy nom. Can I get a what? Yeah, so it's everything of Mona's Frozen. In the ice cream factory, it all seems to be like Like, it's got the, crystals, and it looks frozen.
I didn't
frozen
notice that.
In the bags. Perhaps. The bags look like the windows did in the liquid nitrogen room.
But I'm a little confused at what we see next. We see A walking through with this, black light looking for all the fingerprints.
I was really confused, too. And I was like, I bet you my bottom dollar that I'm never going to find out what this was about. I bet that I will revisit this.
Unless it's just another instance of, A wants to get all of them arrested, not just Hannah, and that A needed to implicate Emily.
Wait, I wonder if
so by okay. putting Hannah at the scene at the storage unit and having the girls go to the place where now all of Mona's evidence is going to be.
Yeah, well,
with fingerprints.
What if and I don't know if this is real. But if you freeze the stuff, I wonder if it gets, if you, heat something up a lot, it will get rid of the, bacteria. And
what we learned last week?
Yes. So I wonder if they're freezing it to do the same thing, and then they're going to go take all of the fingerprints, lift them off of all these things they found, and then go put them on there. So that's the only prints that are on her stuff. And again, we'll never hear about this again. This will never come back up, so we'll never know if we're right. That's the episode. It was crazy. I can't believe that we're kind of in the home stretch, because how many episodes are in this season? 24?
I think so, because the last episode of the season is a fan tribute episode.
Oh, in a bad way? Am so I gonna hate it?
We're not doing it.
We're skipping it. Oh, we'll see how people react to that.
I think people are gonna be fine with it. It's like the last episode of Gossip Girl.
And what's wrong with that? We'll be doing that.
When you stream Gossip Girl, you get to the very end. There's the last episode of the show. And then there's another episode to watch.
Oh.
That's behind the scenes, fan stuff.
Oh, okay. You know. Yeah, no, I'm good on that.
It's like that.
Good on that, but.
So there's either 24, 25 episodes. But it says there's one more than we will do.
That feels crazy. That we're almost, oh my God. I just know things are about to get so freaking crazy. And there were some really funny lines in this app. I was LOLing at various things. I think
Spencer whips into that, when she's driving a bat out of hell through Rosewood Times Square.
She's giving
Road Warrior. She is.
Dare I say.
In the Rosewood Facebook group, there's a parent saying, whoever has a kid who drives a RAV4, yeah. I just saw her speeding down the road so fast. No one needs to go that fast in Rosewood Times Square.
I would just encourage everybody to have a talk with your child today and let them know that the speed limits are there for a reason and that traffic cams are installed on every street corner. Spencer, this is your final warning. So there's a picture of Spencer up on every telephone pole. They're if you see this girl driving, get out of the way. Run for cover.
Park your car and find shelter.
Yeah. Yeah. They're have you seen The Quiet Place? Have you seen The Quiet Place? Have you seen what they do when the things start coming from the sky? Do that if you see her on the road. All right. The next episode title is bonkers. Oh, what hard luck stories they all hand me. It's just too long. I'll say it's just too long. Okay.
I agree.
Aria, Emily, Hannah, and Spencer have been burned before by newcomers to Rosewood, so it's no surprise they're wary when someone new crosses their path. Are the girls wise to keep an eye on everyone? What kind of question is that?
Yeah.
In fact, they haven't been doing a good enough job of it. Also,
ever.
Can I get a little update on PT Cruiser? How's the man doing?
I know.
I'm worried about him. Ashley, you spent too much time with Jace this episode, okay? And I didn't get a good update on PT Cruiser, which, by the way, the nickname's a hit. People like PT Cruiser.
Yeah, people loved it.
People actually latched onto it so fast. I was like, oh, who knew it'd be that easy? So easy a caveman could do it. Anyway, all right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Please go follow us on social media, Instagram at The Pretty Little Podcast. The O in podcast is a zero. On TikTok at The Pretty Little Podcast. Go join our subreddit r/Pretty Little Podcast. Talk to us about the episodes. Let us know what you want to see. And please don't forget to leave us a review. Subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you never miss an episode. And let us know what you think. We love you so much. Thank you for listening. And we will see you next week.
And splat.
Whoa.